be here on a Wednesday night. Turn to someone and give him a fist bump and say, best place to be on a Wednesday night. Right, every Wednesday night we have somebody like Dato' P who comes and really blesses us with his experience and knowledge. Don't you think it was a great session just now? Yeah. Dato', thank you so much. And you know what I really love? I really love his life story, you know, how he met God and why it was important for him. I hope that's the biggest takeaway for you tonight. You know, that's the biggest takeaway that you can go back with. And so tonight also, we have a special speaker. I won't say that he's a guest speaker because he is really part of every nation. He is from every nation church, Christ Church, New Zealand. Wow, it's come a long way. So we are part of the Every Nation movement worldwide. We are in 84 countries today. You know, amazing. Can we give God praise for that? 84 countries, 84 nations. That's why we are called Every Nation, right? We're going to try and populate every nation with our churches if possible. And that's really our vision, is to really send out missionaries and to spread the word of God, to spread his love to all the other nations that have not heard about Jesus yet. And so this really, that's our mission. And really as part of the DNA, our next speaker is really a church planter. Right? He's been full-time ministry like for more than 20 years. Full-time, but then really his life is full of ministry anyway, but he only spent the last 22 years, as a full-time minister and church planter. So I had the opportunity of spending some time with him just now, and I asked him, when you first planted the church in New Zealand, how was it like? How many people were there in the church? And he said, 5. Wow. It's me, my wife, and my 3 kids. You know, those days when they plant it, it's really hard ground. So I really appreciate our leaders who have gone ahead. I mean, Pastor Bernhard actually is one of our senior leaders in the movement. He travels all over to minister to God's people. And we're really privileged to have him here tonight as he comes through KL to Penang for a conference. So I will let him introduce his own family. I think he will introduce them better than me, all right? So can you give a big warm welcome for Pastor Bernhard? All right.
Wow. And I'm so happy that I'm here. You know, that's how you spell my name. I've got the H in Bernhard because just like Abraham, he had an encounter with God and God called him Abraham. You know, I had an encounter with God and he gave me an H. But now, some of you are thinking I'm serious. No, but it's really good. I'm a social media person. If you want to follow me, please, you can do that. It's free of charge, but just make a donation. It's really good. Before I show my family, where are the musicians from tonight? Where are you sitting? If you're in the music band, why don't you stand? Don't you just stand up? Were there only 2 of you, 3 of you? You know, I saw the song that came up and it had the word Hillsong underneath. And I felt the Lord saying to me that I saw Every Nation Gateway. And I want to encourage you. You know, God's graced you and anointed you with a talent. Through the intimacy that you have with Him, He's going to give you the ability to write songs for your church. And for your city, and for your nation. And so I really feel that I want to release that over your lives tonight. Father, it's great singing songs from other churches. But Lord, we do have a sound. Every Nation Gateway has a sound. I pray for the musicians and those people who are graced and anointed to write from your heart. Songs and music for a time like this. I release that anointing on this team of people and future people that will come and be part of this ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't limit yourself in what God has for you. My brother, I want to pray for you. Do you want to stand up? You know, I loved what you said. Part of what you were saying, I couldn't understand. You were speaking another language. I thought it was tongues. And I said, Lord, give me the interpretation. But then nothing came. But I really felt during the praise and worship here, I really sensed there were two words that dropped in my spirit for you. The word is treble. And I really believe that you're going to enter a season where in the past it's taken you so long to achieve something. God is going to speed up that time. And it's not going to be double, it's going to be treble. And it's God's given you a unique ability for the treble. And you need to trust Him for the treble, because it's not going to be, I have to wait a year for something to happen. It's going to happen in 3 months. Because God's going to speed up processes. He's going to speed up the way you think. He's going to give you ideas that is for this season and for this time. The other number that God gave me is 3. I really believe, I don't know if you've got 3 children or you're mentoring 3 people, but God's going to bring 3 people into your life where you have to sow your heart into them. Because that's where the future, that's where the next generation is going to take over what you carry. Because you carry something, and it's not by accident. God's planned it and purposed it and destined it for your life. But I really sense there are 3 people, and I think as you journey, God's going to show you that either in your life now or they're going to be part of your life, but there are 3 people that you're going to sow and multiply yourself into those people. And so, Father, I pray for my brother. I pray for his intellect. I pray for his abilities, the way he sees things that nobody else can see, the strategies you give him like other people don't have. And Lord, I just pray for those 2 words that you've dropped into my spirit, treble and 3. Lord, they might seem the same thing, but they are different. And I just release that on my brother now, Lord God. And I pray that you'd bless him mightily in every possible way, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you, Lord. Has somebody got a, have I gotten till 11 o'clock? Is that right? I just want to pace myself. Will somebody give me when I've got 10 minutes to go? Because then I've got to speak in tongues the last 10 minutes. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's have a look. That's my wife. We've been married. Her name's Colleen. I just landed in Kuala Lumpur at about 10 o'clock this morning. We've just come from South Africa. And she flew to New Zealand, so she's just arrived there. So we've been married we'll be 38 years now in July, 3rd of July, and I'm so pleased that she proposed and I said yes. And I want you to know, in our 37 years, we've never, ever, ever spoken about divorce. Never. Murder, yes. Never divorce. All right, let me show you my family. That's my daughter. She was our firstborn. That's our miracle baby. And she's got, she married a New Zealand Samoan guy. And so we've got little Charlie. She's 4. And then my little Jackson, he's 3. And little baby Israel, he's just started to walk. And he's 1 year of age. And so they live with us. And she's our worship leader in Christchurch. And this is my son, James. And Robin, they live in Cape Town, South Africa. They had their own little girl called Raya, 3. And then they adopted a little 4-month-old baby. And I've just come from Cape Town. I miss them so much. And so if I weep, it's because I miss them. Okay, but I'm not going to weep now. I've got a lot to do. And this is my baby boy. He lives with us in Christchurch. He married a girl from UK. And that's little Esther. And he's a worship leader, songwriter, and he preaches an amazing word. And so I'm truly, truly blessed with an amazing family. And I say this every time. Oh, do you have any parents here? Okay, so this is for your parents. You know, I often get told, Pastor, you're so lucky. You have great kids. That's not luck. It's blood, sweat, tears, prayer, discipline. And being in your children's lives. I come across too many people as I travel the world. They allow Netflix to raise their children. Netflix does a bad job, let me tell you. Nickelodeon, bad job. The best job, mom and dad in your lives. Amen? All right, I want to share in this short time that I've got left is how to live healthy. And often when you see the word healthy, you think food. I'm not touching food because you guys eat healthily. I know that. It's chicken rice all the time, you know. So I'm not talking that. By the way, rice is not good for you. It's full of sugar. But I want you, I've titled this Healthy and Free because I want you to be healthy in your mind. I want you to be healthy in your emotions, but I want you to live free in everything God has purposed and destined for your life. You're not here by accident tonight, and I'm going to share a passage of scripture with you that I live. As a minister, I'd never preach any text that I don't live, because then it's fake. And so I want to be real with you. Because we live in a real world and we face real challenges, and you need to know how to be healthy in your mind, in your emotions, and in your spirit, because you can live an amazing life. I thought I'd get one amen. Do they say amen here? Is it okay? I just want to check because, you know, I know I'm in a different culture. I mean, sure. You know, if I'm in Africa, people will be shouting, yay, go for it, pastor. Preach it. All right. And so I'm going to be looking at the book of Thessalonians. Now, how many of you know that we live in a crazy world? If you look at 2020, come on, how crazy is this world be? You know, in New Zealand, we had a volcano that erupted that killed 13 people. They were on the island. It erupted, killed people. How many of you know, have you got any of your family in Australia? I mean, they have bushfires. I mean, it's crazy. And it just wiped out people. People lost so much. I mean, in the Philippines, they had that volcano. And, yeah, that one. You know, I mean, I just heard now your government changed. I mean, you're all shocked. Are you shocked? Yes. This word is for you today. Listen to what I'm going to say. And so in the book of Thessalonians, they also had challenging times. You know, the Christians there, they'd become Christians, and Paul was writing them to encourage them. And I really believe as he was writing to encourage them, don't give up your faith. Even though it's tough and even though it's hard, don't give up your faith because Jesus is coming back. Did you know that? We don't know when. Some of the young people, how many of you are not married? You're single. I know you are praying, don't come back. I want to get married first. Isn't that right? No, I used to pray that. When I was 18, 19, 20, I said, Lord, I know you're coming back, but I want to get married first. I want to have sex. Come on, I'm just being real with you. Okay, sorry. Am I allowed to use that word here? Okay. Oh, but look, okay, these are professional people, so they're... Otherwise, I've got to behave. Eh? Come on. And so, yeah, Paul is writing to this letter. He's giving them keys how to live healthily, mentally, emotionally, and physically. How many of you are going through a problem or a challenging time right now? Now, some of you are doing this. I mean, even God can't see that. I mean, you're either having a problem or not. You can't debate it. Well, am I? And I, well. Now, just don't be. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, one thing I've learned in life, this is true, is that you're either entering a storm, you're in a storm, or you're going out of a storm. That's what I've learned in life. There's very few days that there's peace and calm. Because none of us learn anything when there's peace and calm. We only learn through the challenges of life. The Bible says, count it all joy for the trials and tribulations. Guess what? You're going to go through them. And so let me tell you a few things. You know, life's not fair. So get used to it. Don't tell your friend, hey, you know, life's not fair. No, I'm telling you. You don't ever have to say that again. Because I'm telling you, life's not fair. But you see, if you live under that label, that's where you're going to remain for the rest of your life. And so be careful what you confess. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail. Let's go. Thessalonians, here we go. Please take notes. The notes are free. They come from the Holy Spirit. Just take notes. This, I promise you, friends, is going to help you, what I'm going to share today. I'm going to share a few scriptures, and then I'm going to speak on the points. You ready? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. This is what it says. Very short, powerful verse. Read it with me. Okay, I'll explain that later because I know some of you are finding that one quite difficult. Number two, pray without. I'll talk about this one too. And number 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you want to know the will of God for your life? You're in the right place. Now let's go and talk about each one of these scriptures. It says in verse 16, it says, rejoice always. Now, the word rejoice is the Greek word chario. It means to show great joy, delight, and be incredibly happy. Now, the Bible also says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, this rejoice is not laughter. It's not laughing at situations. Let's go to always. Always means at all times and in all occasions. Are there any Filipinos here? All right, that word is lahat, if you didn't know, hey? Is that right? Lahat. Okay. Any Japanese people here? Okay, I don't know. Okay. All right. Because if there wasn't, I was going to impress you with some word. Let's move. So do we rejoice always when we're sick? Think about it. So you're sick. You've got the flu. You've picked up this corona stuff. Now, how do we rejoice always when you're sick? You've got a high temperature. You've just broken your ankle. Now you're going to rejoice always. What about if you've got strife in your marriage? Or you are depressed, or what happens when you're on financial difficulty, or you don't have a job, you lost your job. What happens when you're heartbroken? Man, you've had this boyfriend, and your heart's just, you love him to bits and pieces. And then he sends you a WhatsApp message and says, I don't love you anymore. What do you do? Or maybe you've just lost your dog. Maybe you spent this expensive amount buying this puppy with 3 ears, and all of a sudden he's gone, and you're heartbroken. I mean, by the way, I saw this lady with a... Are you allowed to carry dogs in the aeroplane here? Oh, it was on Silk Air. I better ask her, but I saw this dog. I said, I hope you paid for that ticket. Anyway, so it's rejoice always. And you know, Paul gives us a clue. Because when you really think about it, how do you rejoice when you're sick? And in the Philippians 4, verse 4, this is what he says. He uses the exact same words. He says, rejoice. Always, again, I say rejoice. But I left out the most important words. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. That is the key. That will help you mentally. Because you rejoice, if you're not well, I rejoice in my healer who's going to give me what I need, and healing comes from him, and I'm going to hold on to his promises, which are yes and amen, and I'm going to trust God for my healing. That's why I can rejoice in the Lord. Never rejoice in your circumstances. Hey, whoopee, I'm depressed. Oh, no, you wouldn't say it like that. Whoopee, I'm depressed. You wouldn't do that. But you see, because you know the promises of God, and the promises of God are yes and amen. You need to know God's word. When you know his promises, you can cope with whatever comes your way. And so you rejoice, and that's the key. The key is in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so no matter what comes your way, it's that internal joy that you can hold on to. And no matter what comes your way, you can stand and keep standing, as the Apostle Paul said. Because we all go through stuff. I asked you if you're facing a challenging time, and about 5 of you put up your hand. Well, the other guys are just having peaceful waters. But maybe your challenging time's coming tomorrow. Then you better listen to this word. So no matter what, you see, friends, I've learned one thing. You see, I was telling Pastor, thank you so much for inviting me to speak. It's really great to be here. I really love what you're doing here. Come on, man. I might come back again. Next week. Okay. You see, I approach problems very differently today. I always used to blame the devil for everything. You know, if I walked out of here and I kicked my toe on that door, I would blame the devil and say, oh, no, I didn't see the door. That means I've got to go to a place to check my eyes out. It's not the devil. So when you approach problems or challenges differently, and this is what I ask God every time I'm facing a challenging situation. I say, Lord, what are you teaching me? Lord, what are you showing me? Is there something in my life that I need to change? Because I do want to change. I approach challenges so differently. You know, when I used to, I was telling the team this afternoon, you know, when people used to leave my church, I mean, one day they would come to me and say, Pastor, we love you so much. And they would kiss me, yeah. And I'd say, wow, man, these people are amazing. And it makes you feel good when people say they love you. And then the next week they're gone. And I think to myself, oh my goodness, what's wrong with me? They left. I'm such a nice guy. And I used to take it personally, and it affected my health. You know what my stance is today? When people come into my church, blessed be the name of the Lord. When they leave, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because God's called me to evangelize and make disciples. He builds the church. Very clear. So rejoice always. Can somebody open this water for me? Thank you. I've only got 2 hands. Do you want to just taste if this is water? I just, you know, I'm very careful what I drink. All right, rejoice in the Lord always. You see, Romans tells us we rejoice in the hope. And the hope is always found in God. The hope is always found in His Word. That's why you got to know His Word. You see, friends, you can't rely on a snack every Wednesday coming here. Are you reading your Bible? Do you know the promises of God? So when challenging times come, can your mind, which is like a computer, just go zzz, and it's like Google search in your mind where you find the scripture that promises you victory in that situation. You see, most of us don't read our Bibles. Now, some of you are looking down. When you look down, that tells me you don't know where your Bible is. So you better look up very quickly. Read your Bibles, friends. Read your Bible. It says rejoice in hope. There's hope in the finished work of the cross. The hope is in our daddy. Do you know what your daddy's like? Do you know what God's like? Do you know God wants the best for you? Did you know that? That you are a son and a daughter of God? God's not there to punish you. I've got now 6 kids and 6 grandkids. Do you know what? As a father, I want to bless them. You know, my children, when they were growing up, I never once as a dad stood there and said, man, I'm going to make my children suffer. I'm going to give them such a hard time. I'm going to make them suffer. No, I want to bless my children. I look for every opportunity to bless my children. My children come into my home, they have access to everything. They come into the fridge and they eat all my food. And they drink what's in the fridge. And my son still thinks he can have access to my wallet. And that's where I draw the line. But you see, as when we know our daddy, our hope and our trust is in God and God alone. You see, which means that we can face whatever comes our way because of the hope we have in our daddy. You have to know your father. He's a good father. Because of this hope, we can have confidence knowing that our God is able. You know, every day when I wake up, and if you follow me on social media, you'll find I often quote this, our God is able, from Ephesians 3, verse 20. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power within us. That's our daddy. You see, we never rejoice in our circumstance. The circumstances are forever changing. But we rejoice in the Lord, and that's the most important. So who do you rejoice in? You rejoice in the Lord. No matter what you face, you rejoice in the Lord. You see, friends, let me say to you, I come across so many people where their internal is so weak, and whatever comes their way crashes them. So if your external is greater than your internal, you're going to become a casualty of life. But when your internal is strong, you can stand with whatever comes your way. When Johnny says he doesn't love you, you say, why, there's somebody better for you. Come on, don't sit with a loser. There's somebody better for you. If you're trusting God for a job and this one says no, go, guess what? There's something better for you. One thing I've learned in life is that God is in the door business. He opens doors and closes doors. He's in the door business. Guess what, friends? When he closes the door, listen to this. This is for free. When he closes a door, it's for your benefit and blessing. Because he knows that if you get into that situation, that job, you will not cope and you'll become another casualty. He does it for your protection. And when he opens a door, it's for your blessing. And it's both ways you are blessed. So if the doors keep shutting, guess what? Get excited. There's something better for me. Hallelujah. When you meet all these guys that are losers, let me choose the woman. All these ladies that are losers, guess what? God's got something better for you. Hang on, that princess is coming. Or that prince is coming. Don't give up. Turn to the person next to you and say, please never give up. You see, when life is going well, it's easy to rejoice always. When you get that increase, the boy says nice things to you. Oh, it's rejoice always. Hallelujah. But when it doesn't go well, that's when you need to rejoice always. What do you do when circumstances are not favorable or challenging? I want to take this principle and just share a story with you. About 17 years ago, I met a businessman. Sorry, his wife. And I felt the Lord saying to me, I want you to go and build a relationship with this businessman. He was a Christian, didn't believe in going to church. Every 6 weeks, I would go into his company, very successful, multi-international electronics company. I would go in. He would give me 25 minutes. And when you learn one thing from me today, when you're dealing with corporate executives, respect their time. Don't abuse their time. Don't arrive late for a meeting. I would arrive 10, 15 minutes. I would wait in my car. And at 5 to 12, I would walk into the reception. She would know I was there. I'd sign on the dotted line. At 12 o'clock, he would come out and meet me. And he would take me into his office. And I had 25 minutes. He would make me a coffee. I would talk to him. I'd ask him, how can I pray for you? I'd pray. And at 25 past, I left. I did that since 2002. In About 13 years ago, we bought a building. And the building cost us a lot of money. And because of the earthquake, the insurance paid out. And so we paid off the mortgage. And so our church is debt-free. Debt-free. Even out of a challenging situation, God comes through. Through an earthquake that cost lives, we got a debt-free building. And so we are busy embarking on a project of upgrading our facilities, and it's going to look like that. And the bill, according to our quantity surveyors, unless I can employ Malaysian contractors at 100 ringgits a square meter, is going to cost us 5.4 million ringgits. That's 2 million New Zealand dollars. Is that right? About right? Okay. And so we started fundraising. Not selling cakes or tea or T-shirts. I believe when God gives you a project that he's going to finance it through people, the generosity of people. Not selling cupcakes. There's a lot of cupcakes you're going to have to sell. Anyway, so this was 2 years ago, and we had already, with the insurance money that was left and the church gave generously, we were up to about 200,000 New Zealand dollars. And this gentleman that I've been ministering to for so long, he came to me, and I'm going to just cut a long story short. He came to me, let me first tell you this. You know, when you have vision for something, you know that some people will try and pour water on it. Has that happened to you? You know, when we embarked on this project, I had people in my church saying, "Oh, Pastor, it's costing too much. Why don't we give to the poor in Africa? Why don't we use the money for something else?" And then even my colleagues in the region, it was like, $2 million. Yeah, okay, let's see. But I held on to my hope. I strengthened my faith because I knew who my daddy God was. I confessed God's promises. You know, my wife and I stood and we prayed and we trusted God. We worshiped and we asked God, "God, will you provide?" And we never doubted in unbelief. Never. And in about October, November, and I'm really condensing a story just to get to what had happened. At the end of this November, this friend of mine, he became like my New Zealand father. He came to me and he said to me, and these were his very words. He said, "Pastor Bernard, you have sacrificed so much to come to my nation and to make a difference in my family and my nation. You carry the vision. You and your wife carry the vision for this building for the next generation." And he says, "I've got the capacity to give so that your vision can become a reality." And he gave me $2 million. We made the announcement on the 15th of December in our church. And there he sits there. Friends, he gave me $2 million. I felt the Lord saying to me that I told my wife about 2 years ago when we started this project. I said to my wife, "I feel somebody's going to give me a large donation." But for me, large is $5,000. Large for some of us is $500. But friends, he gave me $2 million. The second thing I believe God told me is that we're going to build this building debt-free. So when I hand over the baton to the next generation, they will not have to worry about a mortgage, that they will have a debt-free building that they can impact the next generation for Jesus Christ. And I want to release that onto this church. You know, I believe God's given me a gift of faith because I can trust God for the impossible. If you trust in God for anything here this evening, I want you to stand. If you trust in God for finances, stand. If you trust in God for a contract, you stand. If you trust in God for your own home, you stand. If you trust in God for anything that deals with money, if you trust in God to buy a boyfriend, don't stand. And I want you to stand believing that God can do the impossible in your situation. Because friends, for my situation, it was impossible. But I know with God, all things are possible. I want you to raise your hands as a way of receiving. If you trust in God for your own house, I want you to raise your hand. I believe God wants to give houses, that God will give you the ability to raise the finances, to buy your own home. And I'm going to trust God and stand in faith with you. So Father God, I just pray, Lord God, for every single person having their hands raised right now. Lord God, as we have stood in faith in Christ Church, Lord, you have blessed $1 million. Lord God, I pray, Father, that that impartation, that anointing that's upon my life, I release now on every single person standing. I pray, Father, Lord, you know their situation. You know what they're trusting you for. Father, you know the breakthrough that they're wanting. Lord, there's some people here that are really in a tight corner at the moment, and that if you don't come through, Lord God, all things could crumble around them. And so, Lord God, your word says that our God is able. Our God is able. On the count of three, I want you to say that with me. One, two, three. Our God is able. One more time. One, two. All right, well done. You jumped the gun. Hallelujah. But so, Father, I release that now on this church family. I pray for Pastor Paul Singh and his wife as they stand in faith for facilities as their own church and their own building, Lord God, where they can make a difference. I pray for businessmen that will come around him, Lord, who have the capacity to give, just like Ray has the capacity to sow into our vision and that what we carry. I pray that those businessmen will unlock their finances, Lord, that every nation gateway will have their own facility, Lord, where we can worship God and make difference in the city of Kuala Lumpur in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise offering. All right, you may be seated. That's my introduction. Let me just tell you briefly. Last Sunday in January, he turned 80. 10 days later, he had a massive stroke and died. And while I was in South Africa, I had just arrived in South Africa for my holiday and I got the news. I had to get back on a plane because he's always said to me, he said, Pastor Bernard, wherever you are in the world, if something happens to me, you're coming back. I want you to conduct my funeral. It's gone to be with the Lord. But he saw the faces of the people, that when he sowed the money, he saw our church be excited, ignited, delighted for the next generation. Isn't that amazing? Come on. How much time have I got? Quickly? Anybody? 10 minutes? Is that right? All the time in the world? I like this guy. I think I need to get to know you. Okay. Let's quickly. All right. I'll just skip these here quickly. You know, we don't rejoice in ourselves. All right, there we go. I'll just go to the next two. All right, number two, pray without ceasing. Very, very important. This deals with the emotional state of you because God comes through and meets your emotional need when you can connect with him at that level through prayer, through worship, through your giving. And that is just so, so important for you. Is that you need to pray. Now, that doesn't mean you have to pray all the time. Now, you're thinking, well, Pastor, when can I eat my chicken rice if I'm praying without ceasing? No, has this got nothing to do with nonstop prayer? But we are always in a place of communication with God. When you ride your car, you're praying to God. Just don't close your eyes. Because then you will be with Jesus. And I don't want you to leave now. There's so much Pastor Paul has got for this nation that he wants you to be a part of. But pray without ceasing. Okay, without ceasing. I'm just going to skip through these here. You see, praise of worship, I'm going to just skip this. Faith, let me just leave that. And intercession, thanksgiving. All right, here we go. Last one. So what's the first one? Now, some of you are you're really struggling with that. Because you're going like this. You like have no idea what you're saying. Is my English that bad? Okay, number one, remember this. I want you to, when I see you again, I'm going to ask you. Number one, rejoice in the Lord always. Number two, pray without ceasing. Number three, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, this deals with your physical well-being. Friends, when last have you given thanks? When last have you given thanks that you're alive? Don't take health for granted. Don't take situations for granted. Honestly, with Ray, this gentleman, I never knew that he was going to go that weekend. When last have you given thanks? When last have did you give thanks for your meal? Or does the meal give thanks for you? Chicken rice is there. Yay, I'm going to be eaten. Okay, let me explain this one quickly. You know, Jesus, he gave thanks. What did he give thanks for? We had communion tonight. He gave thanks, and his body was going to be broken. Now, how can you give thanks for a broken body? But this is what he saw. He knew that on the third day, he was going to be resurrected. That's why he could give thanks. He still had to go through the journey of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But he knew on the third day. Some of us give up so quickly. You see, some of us, there are things that need to die in your life tonight. There's certain things that God wants to resurrect in your life. But you've got to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, why am I not walking in freedom? It's because you're holding on to some things that are keeping you bound where Jesus wants you to walk free. Because when you let things die, he can resurrect some new things. But sometimes you got to let things die, okay? So when you look at your current situation, we always have to look at our future joy and victory. So I asked how many of you are going through a tough time. So if you're going through a tough time today, are you playing the piano now? So you want me to hurry up? Okay, you can just play quick. Just play something nice, okay? Okay, there we go. All right. You see, when you're in your current situation, you've got to be able to look through the storm to your victory. And when you look through your storm, you hold on to what your daddy, God, says, his promises, and his grace and mercy. Because it's only a matter of time. You will get through. Do not give up. And that's why you could give thanks. I want to encourage you. Give thanks in every situation. Even though if you're going through a tough time, give thanks. Because you know that victory is coming your way. And you have to keep moving forward in that. Because you know his grace and mercy. Okay? That's the will of God for your life. So, how do I live healthy and free? Okay, help me. Number one. Number two. Number three. All right, I want to pray for you. Let's stand together. You know, I love coming into new situations like this because I don't know you. I don't know if you've brought the Quran tonight or your Bible. I have no idea. But all I know is Jesus is here. His presence is here. And you're not here by accident. You're here because God wanted you to be here. His presence drew you here. And I want to pray for you. If you've got your head bowed and your eyes closed, and the reason why I ask you to do that, because I really want you to focus on yourself. not about with people around you, just you. And I want you to ask the question, only you can answer. What is your relationship with God like? If you have no relationship with Jesus Christ, that invitation is for you to make right with God tonight. If you were once on fire for God, but somehow your heart's grown cold and you're just going through the... Jesus wants you to make right with Him tonight. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. If you can say, Pastor, can you pray for me? I want to make right with Jesus Christ tonight. Or my walk with God has grown cold. And you raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. I want you to raise your hand high. I want to see it purely because I want to see what God is doing in our midst. Nobody else is looking around. This is between you. Just raise your hand high. All right. Those, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Everybody. Dear Lord Jesus, say it after me. I come before you in your mighty name. I repent, Lord Jesus, of my sins, of my past. I invite you now to come into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. Make me a brand new creation by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Can everybody raise their hands? Lord, I thank you for these precious people. I just release your blessing, your favor upon their lives. May we walk in freedom and health, mind, soul, and spirit and body. May we always rejoice always. May we pray without ceasing. And may we always give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.